This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Blaming Canada. Big joke on South Park, maybe.
Canada's been very rough in the United States. Everyone thinks of Canada as being wonderful, and so do I. I love Canada. But they've outsmarted our politicians for many years.
But blaming Canada is not such a big joke around here. We're broadcasting again today from WBFO in Buffalo, New York, just down the road from the Peace Bridge that connects this community to neighboring Canada. Since we stopped trying to annex the country with the Treaty of Washington in 1871, there has been peace and more between our two countries. The value of trade between Canada and the U.S. is the second highest in the world, an estimated $662.7 billion in 2015, second only to the U.S. and China. Here, everything from tourists to hockey stars to commuters to immigrants and more crosses the Canada to Buffalo Peace Bridge. There have been trade disputes all along between the U.S. and Canada. Salmon, oil, dairy products, and forest products, among others. But now, a trade dispute with Canada looks to be the first serious trade crisis of the Trump presidency. The White House announced this week that in retaliation for Canadian dairy price drops, a roughly 20% tariff will be levied on Canadian softwood lumber. The decision affects more than $5.5 billion worth of imports of the material used to build houses in the United States. We asked Armin Yelnizian, economist and business commentator for the CBC, to respond to the White House charge that Canada moved first by dropping its dairy prices to undercut U.S. producers.
It's this increasing competitiveness of Canadian producers that made American product, which was already in oversupply, less competitive. And that's when these Wisconsin and Upper New York State dairy farmers lost their contracts with large dairy processors in New York State and in Wisconsin, and were kind of, there's 75 of them that had no place to ship their export milk. And as you know, milk is not like a bag of nails. You can't put it on a shelf in inventory. If you don't move it in 48 hours, you have to dump it. So it is a very significant issue for these 75 dairy farmers. But it isn't because we introduced some kind of a tariff on this product.
Well, but, you know, undercutting prices, raising prices. I'll take your point. And I love, you know, milk is not like a bag of nails. Yes, grasshopper. Yes, that is very, very wise, very true. But I'm wondering if, generally speaking, because Donald Trump has seemed to dispute and resist and, you know, expressed a kind of repulsion over trade deals that are broad, that, you know, stepping away from broad treaties and, you know, leaves the bilateral dispute open and is likely to inflame more bilateral disputes. And then we could be seeing this with Canada and Mexico and a lot of countries in Asia as well. Generally speaking, looking at the trade deals around the world, do you think this Trump attitude opens and invites more bilateral disputes?
I think the Trump attitude is very much to posture that a deal is going to be made that is going to benefit Americans. So lots of small things become big things so that you can pick a fight and show some kind of a win in a narrow avenue, even if that win was going to take place anyway. But it's really interesting that in virtually all of the cases that we are talking about, the American position under the new president is adding costs to consumers. There's not one single thing that necessarily protects jobs. It may add a few hundred jobs here or there, but those measures largely are eclipsed by rising consumer prices. For example, the lack of agreement in softwood lumber is already pushing costs up for housing in the United States. And as you know, housing, it's been a long time coming that the market has been in a position where it has demand to meet by building new stock. The costs of building a home have risen by 22% because of this lack of agreement already. In Michigan, I have learned that it costs about another $3,600 per new house and has pushed about 9,000 potential buyers in Detroit out of the market because of higher costs.
Trying to look at it from your perspective now, and again, the idea of having a dispute with Canada does sort of strike at, you know, one's intuition about U.S.-Canadian relations. I mean, we are close.
For sure.
There's a huge trade sharing that goes on, $600 billion or so. But I'm wondering if the strategy of the Trump administration, as far as we can tell, does invite countries to basically, well, if we don't know what's going on at the White House, we should take steps to protect our own businesses. And that's kind of what the dairy farmers have done in Canada. And we can expect such things from other nations as they contemplate what's going to come out of the White House.
Well, that's a fascinating approach, and I have to say that there's been a lot of quips online that the strategy of Blame Canada is straight out of a South Park movie, really, and
no,
it's a live remake
of it.
No,
who would say that? Who would say such a thing?
But the truth is that we don't know where the president is going to end up. We don't know how much of this is posturing. And you raise a very important question that when faced with uncertainty, what is one's response? What is happening in Canada is increased competition to lower prices, make these products more viable on international markets. As you know, Canada just signed off on a Canada-Europe trade agreement, which will open up the Canadian markets to more European imports, but equivalently, dairy producers are getting ready to ship more to China. We just started China trade talks. So if the U.S. wants to play hardball, there are other markets in the world. We are very reliant, and we do have, as you point out, this incredibly close relationship, the most successful, long-standing trade relationship in the world, and the most fluid border in the world between two sovereign states. And it's also true that the United States enjoys a trade surplus in that relationship, which is passing strange, right? It even enjoys a trade surplus in dairy exports with Canada, right? So it's just one of those, why are you shooting yourself in the foot on this? Why don't we just negotiate a win-win for everybody? But we don't know that that won't be the ultimate outcome. This really is a president that loves show a lot more than go.
This dispute, I mean, is this going to be something we're going to see all through the Trump administration? Or, I mean, are you prepared for years of this, or is this a flash in the pan?
Oh, I don't think it's a flash in the pan. I think this is going to be the MO of this administration. And I think the fact that you don't have a nominee for trade representative yet confirmed means that every time there is this kind of blustering that China's the problem, that Mexico's the problem, that Canada's the problem, presents a problem for you, in the regard that the world places, that the U.S. is actually ready to do business. Protectionism is not doing business.
Speaking to us from Toronto in Canada, or what we like to say, North Park, Armin Yalnızyan is economist and business commentator for the CBC. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Do you fear a trade war with Canada, sir?
No, not at all.
Why not?
They have a tremendous surplus with the United States. Whenever they have a surplus, I have no fear. By the way, virtually every country has a surplus with the United States. We have massive trade deficits. So when we're the country with the deficits, we have no fear.
President Trump taking questions from reporters on Tuesday afternoon. Ambassador Ira Shapiro was the U.S. chief trade negotiator with Japan and Canada and general counsel in the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative during the Clinton administration. He's currently a senior advisor at the Albright Stonebridge Group. Ambassador Shapiro, welcome to The Takeaway.
It's nice to be with you, John.
Do you take any issue, Ambassador, with our colleague from Canada on any of her claims of what's going on in this dispute?
Well, let me put it in context, John, and you touched on some of these points. First, our relationship, our overall trade relationship with Canada is probably the most successful in the world. That $662 billion you referred to going both ways is actually in balance, unlike what the president has said. We're in balance with Canada, as opposed to with China, for instance. There's always, no matter how successful the relationship is overall, there will always be irritants. And lumber is the longest standing irritant in the relationship. I had to deal with it more than 20 years ago. Dairy is an irritant as well, and it's become a new irritant. So I think it's important to keep those things in context. The recent decision on dairy ingredients by Canada is a change in the status quo, and frankly, it has caused concern not only for the U.S., but also for Australia, New Zealand, the European Union, and Mexico. So it needs to be looked at, but we have to put these things in context rather than picking fights with the most important trade partner we have.
Do you think the Trump administration, by criticizing NAFTA, but creating a dispute and raising tensions. Well, not creating a dispute. You say Canada moved first. Okay, I'll take that point. But these are commodities that are outside NAFTA. Dairy is outside NAFTA. Lumber is a codicil of NAFTA. To have this tension over these things that are outside NAFTA leaves the impression that NAFTA is in flames when, in fact, it isn't. And I'm wondering if it just creates needless tension. NAFTA is fine right now.
That's a great point. I think that these two irritants and these two issues that have to be dealt with would look a lot different if Mr. Trump hadn't declared war on NAFTA. I think what has happened, and we see it more dramatically, of course, with Mexico, Mr. Trump, as candidate and as coming in as president, has essentially demonized NAFTA and Mexico in a way that's been extremely damaging. He's hurt U.S.-Mexico relations to the point that we may well end up electing López Obrador, who is a virtual Marxist, to be president of Mexico next year. I think that as he's spoken to his advisors more and more and gotten into the job, he has toned down some of that rhetoric. But there's no doubt that his attacks on NAFTA have poisoned the well to some extent with Canada as well as Mexico.
And you could even say with Asia, although we don't want to get into that right now, but in the last minute before we go.
The one thing I would say about Asia is anyone he talks to in the business community and anyone he talks to among his advisors would say to him, Mr. President, we have a major trade problem, and it's with China. It's not with Canada, and it's not with Mexico.
Can you respond to Yelnizian's notion that leaving the U.S. trade rep open in the Trump administration is a big problem?
I think it's a significant problem. Bob Lighthizer, the nominee, is a very experienced person. He's a hardliner on trade, but he's a realist as well. He understands the importance of NAFTA, and it would be very helpful if Bob, 100 days into this administration, were in office.
Ira Shapiro served as chief U.S. trade negotiator with Japan and Canada and as general counsel in the office of the U.S. trade representative during the Clinton administration. Right now, he's a senior advisor with the Albright Stonebridge Group. Ambassador, it's great to talk to you.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciate it.